This episode of The View from the Rock is brought to you by the following sponsors. Sign Dog Northwest, they're your source for custom signs, banners, boat names, fleet graphics, and more. Custom design services available. Merle Inc., they're the premier custom home builder in the Clee Ellum area and a proud featured home builder in Suncadia Resort and Tumble Creek. And Rob Thomas Drywall, the number one drywall company in Ellensburg and Kittitas County. Welcome to The View from the Rock. We are not here at the Yellow Dog Studios like we normally would be, but we're still here with Morgie and Papa Swappa. I'm Ruck. Papa Swappa, how we doing? Where are we at?
We are on beautiful Camano Island facing west. We're about 60 feet from the water. The water is calm. You can barely see a ripple. It is a beautiful day here in the Pacific Northwest. And we have finally done it. We have talked about this before, and we do about 5% of the things we talk about.
That is so true.
And this is one of those things in that 5%.
Oh, man. This is breathtaking, sitting here looking at the water.
What are we, when I look across the water and what seems like a stone's throw, but it's probably like 2 miles, what am I looking at right
so
now?
So you're looking at Coopville and part of Woodby Island, the north side.
Man.
Yeah, and so then if we keep looking north, I can see Lummi.
What? Over the horizon. Yeah.
That's Lummi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Ruck?
Are you sure that's not like Mount Constitution out there?
No. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. That's not Mount Constitution. That's Lummi Island.
Wow. So, because that, I mean, you're going to have to look over the top of Fidalga Island to see that, right?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that's where we were. I know that when I look out there, you can sort of see a lot of buildings, and that's Oak Harbor. And then you travel further south, and I think that there's sort of what, Penn Cove?
Yeah. So, Coopville is right there.
So, there's like a high bank right across from us. Is that Coopville?
Yes.
Area? Okay.
Yep.
And then what is that over here? Is that also part of Woodby Island?
But that's on the east side.
Yeah.
Ruck, you have an amazing place that your family has had forever. And people, you have no idea.
This is God's country.
Yeah, I think we're actually coming up here on the 100-year anniversary of purchasing this place.
Would you like to just take 1 minute to talk about the history?
Well, my great-grandfather, Peter Henning, purchased this land back in, I think, 1906 or something like that. And I believe it originally was an Indian fishing camp that they would come to during the summer, the Native Americans back then. And so eventually it went up for sale in like a tax auction. I think he bought it for $1,000, $2,000.
And this is probably land that you can't buy anymore. This would be beyond the scope of what mortal man could purchase.
Well, yeah, and definitely couldn't build this close at this point. So I think when he bought it, it was close to or about a quarter mile of beachfront. And that's still what we have. I think he added on another 10 acres back there. So I think we have 50 acres from the front of the property all the way to the back at the road. And had that for a long time where the family would come out. They had a farm in Stanwood, and this was sort of their summer vacation spot. And eventually they built a house on it, and then his kids, each decided to build their own house. So we're currently in my grandfather's house, Cliff Henning, who was a Jersey farmer out in Sylvania, and still have this property today that
we manage
as a family.
Those many years ago, do you think he envisioned that one day there'd be a very successful podcast recording right here?
No. I think he would have had no idea what a podcast was, and I think that he would have scoffed at the idea that we would just be sitting around talking instead of working hard. You know?
Yes, that's 100% correct.
He There's a whole little book written about him that my great uncle had commissioned at one point. But
he reminds me of my generation's grandpa, great grandpa.
Yeah, basically
like physical workers, yeah. Like bust ass all the time.
Like he was a road builder, like the road that you guys drove down. He came in on a barge with a pack of horses and a steam shovel, I believe, and dug out the side of the hill to make the road himself.
We were just talking about that as we're driving down. Yeah. Like, imagine now building this road.
Yeah, nope.
Dude, it's almost, what is it, a quarter mile?
Yeah.
to get there. If you are a listener, there's a few listeners that know this kind of view and what we have. And there's some people that have never seen this. It's awesome.
It's definitely a blessing. We love to complain about it, but at the end of the day, it's a pretty special spot.
And you spend a lot of time here.
Try to, much as I can. life gets busy, but first week that I could when school was done.
But it's only like 50 minutes.
Yeah, 50 for sure.
And a beautiful drive out here for those of you that have not experienced the drive to Camino.
We went the wrong way.
What do you mean you went the wrong way?
Swap didn't take the right on East Camino Drive.
Ugh. Because every time I've come here, I've got lost, so I knew there was another turn.
So he's like, there's another turn down the road.
That's
so
true.
We went to Monticello.
Okay, yeah, that's a ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only 4 miles.
But it was, and it's beautiful out. And speaking of hard work, we're on our second day now of
74 days off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not counting, though.
Hey, you know, we earned it.
This was a hard year.
Not as hard as last year.
Last year was brutal. This year was a blessing in comparison.
What do you think, Mr. Morgan?
I disagree. I think this year was harder.
Do you really?
Yeah.
See, I think it speaks to class.
Well, but you had a hard year, Ruck, because your kids last year were way harder.
That's what I was about to say. I was going to say it speaks to class composition. If you've got a group of kids that are challenging and all get put together, then you're going to have a tough year. And there's not a lot of hope of
and
fixing
I think
that during the year.
And you lucked out this year, and other teachers did not.
Well, I think I
you
had that coming
that.
To me.
Because last year.
Yeah. Loved a lot of kids last year, but they liked to test me, among other teachers.
So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we have a musical genre of bands/albums from 1992. We have a beer of the week from El Suanito Brewing Company up in Bellingham, Washington.
Ooh.
And we have a top three best places that you've sat to watch the water/ocean. Weird that we would have that as our top three as we're sitting here.
That's
doing
a great
that thing.
Top three.
Oh, I mean, look at it.
If there's moments where on this podcast today it seems like we're being quiet, it's probably because we're staring serenely at the water as it
waiting for like a whale to jump.
There's something mesmerizing though, just about the water. There's just something mesmerizing
about it.
You can hear us being mesmerized right now.
Normally, we're really good at using different words to describe things. Not, but I imagine this could be one of our worst episodes of doing that because our brain is going to be half just staring at the water like we're in a trance, and then we're going to be trying to talk about something else.
Yeah.
One more thing about being here, when you just see how close we are to the water, not a lot of traffic.
No.
So that's what's even better. Like, you don't see a lot of boats.
I saw a kayaker 10 minutes ago, but other than that,
right
I've
now,
seen
there is
no
nothing.
Vessels.
Nothing.
There is nothing out there right now other than
a couple buoys
and water.
And according to Tim, they're mooring buoys.
They're what?
Mooring.
I know what mooring means, but what? Tell me more about.
So that means that you can occupy that. If you own a mooring buoy on your place, it's just a place to hold your boat.
Yeah.
And then they have those on the islands first come, first serve.
Really?
Yep.
I'll so, be I damned. Mean,
we could put a mooring buoy out here if we wanted to, but...
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, tide goes out quite a ways, and in case you're not from Washington and know the tide rights up here compared to other places, like, basically the way it's written in there is that you own the tide flats out to their deepest, like, uncovering. So however far it goes out, that's how far you own.
Really?
Yeah.
That's even more amazing here.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Hmm.
Well, as much as I'd love to talk about this place forever, there were some sports things that happened recently. NBA Finals sounds like... Yeah, I would have loved to have watched more of it, but it sounds like it wasn't really worth watching.
I missed the last game.
So Pritchard from Boston hit another big half-court shot at the buzzer.
Oregon guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's from West Lynn.
Oh, which is a tough area.
And he, I think... I'll have to, maybe we'll fact check this with the Oregon boys, won 4 state titles when he was in high school.
I think
that's
correct.
He started all 4 years.
I remember a game where they beat the Huskies where he just put on a show. He is really good.
And he's 6'3".
Yes.
Attitude-wise, he reminds me of Jason Williams. Remember Jason Williams?
Yeah. White chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he hits 2 half-court shots in the series that were big shots. And... Did you see the last one?
Yeah.
It looked like he took 6 steps. And there are guys on Twitter saying, no, it's not a travel.
So like he's got a step.
He gathered. Like, can you gather? Is gathering a thing?
Well, I don't know.
But it used to be a travel.
Yeah. So now everyone's upset because Boston has 18 titles and the Lakers have 17.
Hmm.
Magic tweeted out. And it's like the Lakers are not even close.
Who would you rather have more titles? Like, if you have to choose between those two teams.
Boston. The Lakers.
I was going to say Boston.
No.
Boston.
I hate everything about Boston. I hate the Patriots. I hate everything. Boston people are arrogant.
I love the Celtics with Larry Bird, McHale, Parrish, Ainge.
They're arrogant.
Dennis Johnson.
Arrogant.
Casey Jones.
The arrogance.
I know they're arrogant.
Dude,
they're good.
My dad makes it even worse.
Is he a Celtics fan?
No, you know how he doesn't like arrogance.
He doesn't like arrogance.
Even confidence.
What do you have against... How do you feel about the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Did you watch the 30 for 30?
Yes, that's the only team because they have suffered. But you looked... They put it on the McAfee show the other day. How many titles Boston has as a city since 2000?
Oh.
What is it? A lot to not very much?
Like 14.
Yeah, because the Red Sox have what, 2?
2. The Bruins have 2, and the Patriots have
7.
And the Celtics have 2.
I don't like that.
Like every other, there's other cities, they have 4.
I mean, the thing I'll say about Boston, I know you can try to make some sort of argument about the Patriots being cheaters, but I don't really buy that. I feel like
I don't buy that either.
Yeah, I feel like most of their titles have come because of good management, good coaching, good players, and it's not that they've all come in a sport where there's no salary cap, like baseball. There's no salary cap, and you get people wanting to go to the Lakers as well, and them going way over the luxury tax. That's partly why I don't like those LA teams. Like they're just spoiled. They get so much money thrown at them. Players want to go there for whatever the reason is. Their legendary status.
They should have one less title. Sorry.
Who?
Boston.
Why?
Yes, they should.
Because Seahawks second run.
Oh.
Should have run the ball. Run the ball.
Not talking about it. Nope.
All right. I'm done with the finals.
Yeah, good.
Swap, what were you going to say?
I forget. Oh, I like the Celtics coach.
I didn't realize that he played for Bob Huggins at West Virginia.
Yeah, and once I looked at that, I kind of vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Joe Mazzulla.
Mazzulla, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's different.
He is different.
He is.
He's a little different.
Good. I like that.
And he's 35.
And the crazy part is that they had a great coach there already, Brad...
Stevens.
Stevens.
The guy from Xavier.
So how about after
Wasn't
Brad?
He Coastal Carolina as well, before that maybe?
I think didn't he take Xavier to 2 national finals?
Butler.
Butler. Sorry. Remember the year they had the guy? Who was the guy?
Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
And he missed a half-court shot that was close.
Against Duke, right?
To win the title.
Yeah.
So the coach after Brad Stevens is Ime Udoka.
And he...
And he's from North Portland. Like, he hung out with the Oregon boys.
And he got himself in hot water.
Yes, he did.
How did he do that?
I don't know if we can talk about it.
Oh.
No. You'll look it up.
I was just...
But he got fired.
Yeah. Quickly.
And then this guy came in, and now he's...
But you remember last year they were talking about him being the worst coach? Like, just a bad in-game coach?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the reason I brought up Brad Stevens was just that it was an interesting thing. As a young guy, he goes from Butler to the Celtics, does well his first season or two. I think he's only there maybe two seasons, and then decides to move into a, what, executive role in the Celtics organization. Is he, what, general manager?
Yep.
That's unheard of.
President of basketball operations. Well, the new president of basketball operations, GM for the Mavericks, his name is Nico Harrison. He's from Portland. We were hanging out. We played together. Like, we played when I graduated. He was a Nike guy. And then he just happened to get lucky. And we're like, that's Nico on TV.
That's crazy.
I know.
And, you know, related to all the Portland stuff you keep bringing up and basketball in general, the NBA just finalized their TV contract. That means with the TV contract finalized, nothing's in the way of the Sonics coming back to Seattle.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
It is going to happen.
I blame David Stern.
And we've lost TNT.
Yeah, that's true. Hey,
it's going to be on NBC.
I mean,
Peacock?
And NBC.
Who do you blame more, Clay Bennett or David Stern?
David Stern.
Little Howard Schultz for selling to Clay Bennett.
Yeah, yeah. I want to blame Howard Schultz the most. He should have known better.
What do you think, Mr. Morgenthaler?
Well, there was a time where I didn't go to Starbucks for 4 years.
I think that says it all.
There you go. Hey, so last time we talked about the Beatles. Did we miss anything?
You
haven't heard anything?
Did we get any emails?
I've heard nothing.
Crickets?
I mean, it could be also that our listeners know less about the Beatles than us. That is a possibility.
That could be 98% accurate.
I know our listeners, and I'm pretty sure they know more about the Beatles than us.
Then we must have done a great job.
Crickets. I don't know. Do any of our listeners listen to the Beatles?
When I go to people's houses, we're not listening to the Beatles.
No. But it was fun researching that episode.
It was.
Because I can't believe how many songs they had. But we covered that last time.
Metallica.
Coming up. September 1st.
Rooster just hooked us up.
Yes, he did.
We're going to Metallica.
Day two.
It's official.
Yep. Day two. Yeah. So now
us
add that to the calendar.
And Mr. Jack Curtis, another loyal listener.
Yeah. And we also... are going to Judas Priest.
And Everclear.
I'm excited about that.
And we have... What day is it today?
Juneteenth.
Okay. So we have 22 days.
Oh, until micro wrestling?
Yeah, baby. July 12th. That's a special day in my family.
July 12th?
Yes, because now kids aren't allowed to go. Kelly said I could go. That's Brennan's 17th birthday, and it's our 21st anniversary.
Your wife's amazing. She's letting you go to midget wrestling.
Yes, we're going out and celebrating our anniversary on the 11th.
I was perplexed because at first I thought you were saying I thought that in my mind it was the 1st, July 1st. But we're doing something else on the 1st. It's the 12th.
What are we doing on the 1st, Swap?
Oh, we have another remote podcast at Mr. Metcalf's on his deck.
And his view is even...
Yeah.
It is amazing
as well. His view rivals this.
Wow.
Nah.
Well...
No, this is number one.
I don't want to get into whose view is better. I just think...
This view is better.
You are going to in our top three. That is the premise of the top three.
But...
Yeah.
Yes, his view is amazing. He would agree that this, I think, just in terms of population, is better.
Yeah.
You know, this would actually be a pretty great place to do a live podcast. Like, we could set up on the deck and people would just be hanging out.
It would be.
I think that's up to you, Rock. That would be amazing.
Well, it's all of your friends that are our listeners. I don't know anyone that listens to our show. So
yeah, you do. There's a couple. There's a couple of your friends.
Yeah, I get like one text a month about this show. Hey, we actually have a good Mariners team knocking on wood aggressively right now as I say that. We have a good Mariners team.
So the Mariners right now have a 10-game lead in the division. They have the biggest division lead of anybody in baseball. I listened a couple days ago to one of our episodes from April. It was April 14th.
We were hating them.
And we were, like Mr. Morgenthaler was saying, this is the earliest ever that you've been this negative. And they were, I think they were 4-9, maybe 4-7, but it felt like 4-9. They were, I said in that episode, they're broken. There's something wrong. And now here we are, they have a 10-game lead.
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of the brokenness and that we were feeling at the time was how they continue to be slow starters to start the season, mm-hmm. and it just puts them in a hole. And how at that point, still our hitters weren't hitting, but our pitching all of a sudden wasn't good, and that felt pretty bad.
And they had a couple injuries, and just everything was going haywire. But now they're rolling. They beat the Indians last night, so they're 10 up. I can't say Indians anymore. They're the Guardians.
That's right.
Yeah.
Guardian Bridge. Big thing there in Cleveland, apparently. You know, the thing that has me still concerned is Julio. Now, I realize that all of a sudden he's batting over 300 in his last month or whatever it is. He's still not hitting home runs. He's still not getting extra base hits. When you look at his OPS, so that's on base plus slugging, so that takes into account like his average, of course. Mm-hmm. I know you realize that. I'm just saying that to our listeners. He's still like, what, second or third lowest in our starting lineup. So like Dylan Moore, granted in 100 less at bats, is our, what, number three hitter based upon OPS?
I think so. Julio will be fine, I think. I think the offense will come around. Going back again to that April podcast, excuse me, I think that our stadium is really tough to hit in, especially early in the year for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. Honestly, I haven't watched a game yet.
Don't.
The whole year.
Yeah, don't start now.
I've watched one inning, so I've been waiting. And now we wake up today because Softy, I listened to him yesterday. He's like, we could wake up tomorrow and we're 10 games ahead.
And we are now.
Yeah, and then he goes, but I'm not going to jinx us because we could be 4 games ahead at the All-Star break.
Yeah, and I think we're also at a point now where the Astros and Rangers are looking to possibly go into seller's mode.
So this is the year, Ruck. I'm sorry. I'm tired of the Mariners doing nothing.
We need to make the biggest lead
going into the trade deadline. We need to make some moves.
Well, and they have the way their roster and lineup is constructed, they have a lot of different places where they could add a guy. They could go first base, they could go DH, they could go corner outfield, second base, third base. They have a lot of places where they could pick up a bat and it wouldn't really rock the boat that much.
Yeah, and from what I see right now, we have one of the top, some would say the top, minor league hitters currently in an organization. We are well stocked, and so we could make some trades to acquire some guys. Now, you know, those are like lottery tickets, basically in the minors that you've got. But it's always scary to give those guys up, especially when, you know, a lot of people talk about Luis Robert, the guy that we just saw with the White Sox, as one of the guys we might bring in. But, you know, like he's batting 200 this year. Like, he's got a great amount of potential, but there's no guarantee that they're going to help you. So I'm not saying we shouldn't trade. I'm just saying it definitely scares me. I'm not the gambler like you guys are.
They need bullpen help right now.
That's
true.
Yep.
I have not watched a game. So I'm waiting until you guys tell me I can watch.
Why don't you listen to a game?
Well, I've just life.
No, yeah, I'm saying like
it had like kids and stuff, and then I'm like, you know, like we said, prepare to be disappointed, and it was April. But now This is the, you know, I'm not, again, knocking on wood.
Mr. Morgenthaler is knocking on wood.
But I'm going to wait till after the All-Star break.
That's fair.
And then you know how it'll be. September is going to be fun this year.
Yeah.
You know what
back
I will say?
Back to school and watching and excited. Watching, I mean, Mrs. the Holgertzes are all in.
They're all in. Yeah.
Watching the Mariners is so much better than it used to be because the games are done by like 9 o'clock at night, sometimes 8:30.
Well, they start at 6:40, yep. And there's the pitch clock.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's
always the 7:05 to 10:05.
That was brutal. I couldn't start a game because I wouldn't be able to finish it. I'd be asleep. Hey,
happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, to all our loyal listeners who happen to be fathers, nice job.
Hey.
Mr. Swap, did you get a gift?
I got 3 t-shirts.
Nice.
Yeah.
Were they all View from the Rock t-shirts?
No, they were just plain t-shirts that they're kind of like nicer t-shirts.
Summer wear?
Yes, summer wear.
For Chelan.
Yes. Just
when
like
you get to the pool.
Right. Like a nice t-shirt. I got a white one, a black one, and a gray one. So that's about as dressed up as I get.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
So I think if I go out to a nice place, I'll wear the white one.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to...
I'll go dark on that.
Well, you got to be careful with white.
Yes.
You know, because you're one swoop of the spaghetti away from that shirt being ruined.
Yes. I actually got some new pickleball shoes.
Oh, they're shoes just for pickleball.
Nike.
Yes. They like court shoes?
Yes.
We talked about this. What makes a pickleball shoe a pickleball shoe?
I have no idea.
I would think that just like tennis, you would want a zero drop shoe. You don't want your heel elevated. You want it flat. You don't want them to be really elevated off the ground. You want it pretty minimal.
So
sole,
the Hoka's
and you want it pretty hard.
Working.
No, that would be terrible.
I know. And people I've tried different. So my feet health is important now.
Oh.
So,
you know, a guy we used to work with said, and I think this is for our listeners out there, maybe the best advice you'll ever get.
Yes.
If there's 3 things to spend money on, your shoes, your mattress, and your tires.
Yeah.
So spend money on everything that's underneath you.
No comment.
No comment. So we know what that 4th thing
would be. So just real quick, it was great. I had fun with Father's Day. Got the shoes. I got a new bag to work out with at Thrive because my wife thinks my bag is too old. It's 20 years old.
Oh, that's awful. I bet it stinks.
No, it doesn't. Eh.
So what'd you do on Father's Day?
Father's Day, I actually played pickleball.
What?
Yeah.
With your kids or family?
It was busy day with sports because we had games for high school. So there were 4 games that day that I watched in Cedar Woolley.
Mm.
And then had a nice brunch at the bullpen with my dad and my sister and Megan.
In Cedar Woolley?
Yep.
I never heard of the bullpen.
It's right there by the high school.
Yeah, just down the street.
Whatever that road is. It's like Main Street, but then take a right, like you're going to the high school, and it's at that corner.
Okay.
And then actually played pickleball that night.
Skyline.
Just getting ready for a tournament this Sunday. So Derek and I are partners, and it'll be our first time. So while I'm talking...
we have a little invasion.
We have the doors open, and it's just tons of windows, and you're looking, and a bee just came in through the doors.
Buzz the tower.
Are you afraid of bees, Ruck?
No. Did you see me flinch? No.
Yeah, you flinched outside when a bee was on you.
I think it was a yellow jacket.
I think you're fine because
I'm not allergic. I don't care.
Most people would just shake their head like my dad swats them. He hates them. I'm like, just let them be.
Yeah.
So Father's Day, I woke up in Renton. I was down at a baseball tournament for Brady, 13U baseball tournament. Watched 2 games, and that's probably as good a day as you can have on Father's Day.
Watching a couple of baseball games. I watched 3 basketball games.
Yeah. Sat in my little Tommy Bahama chair down the right field line. Didn't say anything.
So do they have a fence high?
They have a low fence.
So you can see over it.
You know, like it was the kind of fence where you like put your arms out and you can lean on it. So it was tough in the low boy because the tubing on the fence was right about on my sideline.
Yep.
Well, you know, I'm not as prolific as you guys, so I don't have the kids that you do. So didn't have the Father's Day for myself, but had the Father's Day for my dad and made him a couple racks of ribs.
Ooh.
A couple tri-tip and
And you just
prime
brought
rib steak.
It up there? Or
yeah.
Just, and then that was, he has meat for a week.
So, yeah, made him like a meat platter.
Oh, that's,
oh, I think I saw a picture of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Yep. And, you know, thanks to you guys for being great dads. You know, I've had some of your kids in my class in different roles, either as a TA or a student. And you guys must be great dads because you've got some great kids. So thank you for that. Because as you know, as teachers, nothing sets up a kid normally for being a challenging student like parents that are challenging. Obviously, it's not always the case, but that's a challenge for kids to overcome when their parents are not helping out.
No cap, as they say.
Oh. Man.
Those parents are mid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are a bunch of skibbity dads.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, so Reese and Bree just tried telling me that, and Rowan and Brennan. I'm like, no. I don't want to get into all that.
You guys are total Rizzlers.
Did you say we're Twizzlers?
Rizzlers.
On God.
Riz Kings.
Rizzler.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well,
hey, so we have a couple things that happened. So someone that we know in our town passed away, Nick Mavar Jr., last week. And that was a shock to the town, I think.
Yeah.
So rest in peace, Nick.
Yep.
And they actually had something about him last night on Deadliest Catch.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's fitting that we're so looking out at the water while we're talking about that.
Tuesday night was like a new episode.
Mm-hmm.
And beginning of the episode, they put on a thing about Nick.
You know, I haven't watched Deadliest Catch in a while. You guys watch that normally? It's still?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watch it.
I feel like I need to get back
to
that.
So it's 20 years.
Is it really?
Yes.
20 years. And Nick was a key figure in Deadliest Catch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we grew up with his family. They moved to Anacortes. I don't know. When did that family? And Croatian?
I don't know. I just remember being a little guy and watching him play basketball, watching his brother play basketball. And, you know, that was kind of the roots of,
yep,
in a lot of ways, you know, not the identity of our basketball program was those hardworking guys that turned into hardworking guys.
Yeah. And grew up with my uncles.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I see him, we coached, we had Nick's kids in class. And his brother's kids we coached, too.
Yeah, it's a loss.
So.
Well, I think we're ready for musical genre. Our band / albums from 1992. And obviously, individual songs, too. Was there any reason that we went with 1992 other than maybe it was a great year in your life?
I just picked the next year after the last episode.
So we were 91 last time?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're just going to keep going forward. Next time
we'll
be 93.
Well, maybe. I mean, you know, it's summer break, and we are sitting at your cabin.
Yeah.
So there might be, you know, we're just winging it a little.
We'll see what happens next.
Yeah.
Okay, TBD.
So you guys have your computers open. I'm naked and afraid a little bit over here.
You freeballing it?
Yep. What do we have for 1992? I know I can start with what the number one single was in 1992.
Can I guess?
Yeah, I hope we're looking at the same document. What? Take
no,
a guess.
I'm not.
Guess.
Can you give me a clue? Is it more pop?
Pop. Definitely pop. Was on a movie soundtrack.
Is it Whitney Houston?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
From The Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
When you said pop, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I Will Always Love You.
Oh,
wasn't that great, though, yes, at the time? She was so good.
She was amazing.
She was so good.
And then you find out that whole dynamic with Bobby Brown.
I know.
Was a train wreck.
I know. I don't even want to know that part of her. I just want to. I want her singing the national anthem and
she
being in The Bodyguard.
She was so good.
She was so good.
So was that her album or the song?
That was the number.
Oh, it was the soundtrack for Bodyguard.
Yeah, and that was the number one single in 1992, according to Wikipedia. So I know it's true.
So that's based upon probably like purchases or whatever, I imagine. Because they wouldn't be able to use streaming numbers like they do nowadays.
So do you want to start with songs?
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I have that I'm looking at.
Okay. And the songs list is epic. And then I have albums.
Okay. So the songs list is amazing.
So I have a couple songs that get at me. Remedy.
Yeah.
Black Crowes.
We talked about the Black Crowes ad nauseum here, but we should.
And there's some Beastie Boys.
So what was Beastie Boys that year?
So What You Want.
Oh, what you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plush.
Yeah.
Stone Temple Pilots.
And we talked about on the way here, we haven't done it as a genre, but maybe we will someday. Underrated grunge.
Yeah.
STP but might be too.
They're not underrated.
No, they're not.
I'm going to have so little to add to this conversation.
I don't
about
know
underrated
who,
well, grunge.
Who's under Silverchair?
Well, for you.
It could, see, for me, like, the whole category would be underrated.
We walked into the Ruck Cabin today, and Silverchair was playing.
Is that what I was playing? It was just a random playlist.
No, they were good. They were 17 years old. 1995.
And Australian.
Yes. And Australian. You know, when I'm looking at this list, the stuff that jumps out to me.
So just songs.
Yeah. Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name of.
Yeah. And
Bomb Track.
Bomb Track.
Yeah. I love Rage. Oh my God.
I love Rage.
You know what? I'm so upset that I don't know what happened. Well, first
it was COVID.
And then Zach got an Achilles injury.
Wow.
Had to postpone the tour. And then they just decided they're done.
Yeah.
Like 7 months ago.
I think it was a lot for them to get together.
They can't stand each other? Is that the problem?
I had tickets. Brad Seindog had two tickets, me and him, Portland. We've been waiting 4 years.
Yeah.
I was going to give him the Portland tour. Just a bunch of breweries. It was going to be so fun. Because there are so many good breweries down there.
Nice.
What else we got in 92?
Jump Around, House of Pain.
Wow.
Everything About You, Ugly Kid Joe.
Ugly Kid Joe.
Never heard of that.
You never heard of Ugly Kid Joe?
No.
That's actually a great song.
What?
It's not a great song. It's kind of
the end of 80s.
Yeah.
Right? Ugly Kid Joe is like a...
Can you fact check this for me? Wasn't Ugly Kid Joe somehow like related to Ozzy Osbourne?
I thought you were going to say Fat Joe and Ugly Kid Joe. I thought they were related.
Somebody fact check that for
Jump, Criss Cross.
Was that 92?
Jump. Yeah. Rhythm is a Dancer.
Okay. Oh.
You know that song?
I do.
Who was that?
I don't know. I just looked it up. It says Snap is the person that sings it.
Oh, yeah. There it is on mine, too.
You're missing out on a couple other ones. Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton.
So that whole album, and a lot of it was the, what was the movie with Jason Patrick and Jennifer Jason Leigh? Rush. Do you remember that movie?
No.
Oh, that's a great movie.
And then all of Alice in Chains, Dirt.
Yeah. That seems more 93.
And there was big, and you know, R.E.M. was big then, and Swap hates R.E.M.
I don't hate them.
I don't hate them, but I don't listen. Like,
so did you see when they just did Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction and they played?
Yeah.
And I respect them.
Yeah. There's a few songs. So they're big right then in 92. Mm-hmm. Walking on Broken Glass. Who sings that?
Never heard of it.
You would swap Annie Lennox.
Oh.
How about...
That's the Eurythmics. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
How about Mr. Big?
Oh.
To Be With You. Remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
What about... Did you guys ever listen to Radiohead? Creep came out in 92.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Creep, if you're like a diehard Radiohead guy, like if you are a dyed-in-the-wool Radiohead guy, you don't like Creep.
But, yeah. Classic.
That was Pablo Honey?
I think it was the album.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
There was some Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Is it Sade or Sade?
Sade.
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 No Ordinary Love. But Rooster, but hey, so we'll talk about albums in a second.
Okay.
But Dr. Dre,
Chronic.
Chronic came out in 1992.
Hey, how about Mix-a-Lot? Baby Got Back.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Janet Jackson.
Well, Ice Cube. It Was a Good Day.
Yeah.
Was there, that 92?
That's what it says.
And then there was, remember, there was a lot of TLC and...
Was there TLC at that point?
TLC. Wow.
I think we had Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, yes, we did.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yep. 1992.
Man, if you...
And his daughter wasn't even born.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe you don't know everything about you. So during the break, we're gonna play it for you.
Okay.
Because I think you're going to think it's like 80s.
Okay.
It sounds 80s. Do you agree with that, Swap?
Yeah, I do. According to Wikipedia, we also have God Gave Rock and Roll to You. Yeah, I'm getting a thumbs up from Mr. Morgenthaler.
I don't know what that
is. We have The Cure, Friday I'm in Love.
Yeah, like that song. Gin Blossoms, Hey Jealousy. I've heard that one before.
Weren't we talking about the Gin Blossoms on the way down?
Yeah. Hey Jealousy was played all the time.
Yeah, I bet. I mean...
Oh, The Tragically Hip?
Oh, we had a long talk about The Tragically
Locked
Hip
Locked in
the
trunk
down.
Of a car. I have now... I just got back into them because... Sometimes when we play pickleball, there's music played, and one guy plays music from 1960 and 70, like, because he thinks we're old, even though he's close to 40.
Yeah, well, we are old.
Well, okay. So we've been playing, and then Derek and Maddie will bring a speaker. So we've been listening to a lot of grunge, but Maddie, shout out to all the pickleball family, and Adam... I think they might be getting close to being a new sponsor. Derek and all of us, she got me back in the Tragically Hip. So that's why I was like, wow. I'm like, because I only listened to him from Josh.
Yeah.
Yes. I was on a mountain bike trip with Josh, Sign Dog, and Coach Brent, not to be confused with Idaho Coach Brent, Washington Coach Brent. And we got smoked out. There was
I know what this trip is. This
no,
is not
there were there, were, there were wildfires.
I yes. know.
Yes. So we had a VRBO, and all we did for 3 days was watch Tragically Hip and White Buffalo.
And they're so good.
And eat sushi.
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds like an amazing trip.
It was a great trip.
I've heard.
Yeah.
Are you ready for albums?
Yeah, let's go.
So I have a thing. I have it up. So the Chronic, Dirt would be the top two. REM, Automatic for the People. So they had.
So was that like Man in the Moon?
Man in the Moon. Beastie Boys. Check Your Head. Oh, that sounds amazing. Sonic Youth, Dirty.
Ooh, Sonic Youth.
The Cure. Did you ever get into PJ Harvey?
No.
Let's see. Oh, Faith No More.
Oh, yeah, Epic.
No, Angel Dust. But
that was the name of the album. Was Epic on that album?
I think so. But here's one that just got me. Pantera, Vulgar Display of Power. Album... Changed my...
What was on that album?
Walk.
Man, I know so very few of these albums. I will say, I'll interject that there was something that we missed, and it was probably because it was a cover. Guns N' Roses, Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Cover, but from Bob Dylan. Yeah, that was a great song.
Body Count.
Yep. Eric Clapton, Unplugged.
Yeah, and that really coincided with the Rush soundtrack.
But didn't he also lose a child?
Yes, so he played Tears in Heaven. He
was
lost a child.
Was that right then?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Layla was on that. He did that really slow version of Layla.
So core of the Stone Temple Pilots, like that album.
Yeah.
The first album was amazing. Southern Harmony and musical companion Black Crowes. Harvest Moon, Neil Young.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize that was that year. So
I thought it would have been.
So that obviously earlier. Had Harvest Moon on it. What else is on that album?
I don't know. Oh, my God. I'm just looking at one of them. Ace of Base.
Oh, Ace of Base.
Sometimes. Do you remember the song?
All That She Wants Is Another Baby.
And then I Saw the Sign.
Yes. Was I right about the first one?
Yes.
Was that Ace of Base? Because I get them mixed up with Roxette.
That is awful. Roxette, You Got the Look.
Yeah. They were kind of good. They were Swedish or something.
That was MTV.
They were like Swedish techno.
Yeah, that was MTV.
Oh, man.
What else you got? Blind Melon.
Yeah.
Oh.
And their singer was Shannon Hoon. Am I right about that?
I don't know. Megadeth, Countdown to Extinction.
Hmm.
Did you ever get into The Prodigy?
No.
Helmet?
No, I remember their videos a little bit.
Sublime, 40 Ounces to Freedom. And then, of course, my wife would love this, SWV and TLC. I'm just looking. All I Know from Screaming Trees, Sweet Oblivion, 92.
Wow.
House of Pain. Crisscross.
Gonna Make You Jump.
AC/DC Live. Oh, Peter Gabriel, Us. That was pretty good.
The Wayne's World soundtrack.
And then another Tragically Hip, Fully Completely. Fish. I'm not a big Fish guy.
I've heard that Fish has the worst BO of any band. From a reliable source.
Yes.
You know what? I struggle when I look through the lists that they have because, you know, they'll say Billboard year-end Hot 100 singles of 92. Well, couldn't some of this stuff have come out in a previous year? Like, for example, this list has Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit. But that came out in 91.
Yes, but so a lot of these show up on 92 charts because that came out in like September of 91. Yep. I'm looking at events from 92. Vince Neil leaves Motley Crue to spend more time on his career as a race car driver.
Whoa.
Kurt Cobain marries Courtney Love.
We were still right in the heart of when grunge started.
Milli Vanilli and the whole lip sync thing came out that year.
Really?
Yes. And a judge in Chicago approved cash rebates of up to $3 for anyone that bought a Milli Vanilli recording.
Oh my goodness.
We talked about this in a previous podcast.
Have you heard of the band Doppelganger?
I've heard of the
band. Oh, no, that's the album from Curve. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. You've heard of that?
Yep.
Nina Cherry. Do you remember that song from MTV?
November Rain became the longest single to reach the U.S. top 20. 8 minutes and 57 seconds.
That was Use Your Illusion time, where they were going downhill.
I think 92 was when I saw them, and their concert sucked. Might have been 91.
Well, I feel like I've, at least on my end, exhausted. I keep seeing the same stuff.
Yeah.
August 8th, 92, during the Guns N' Roses Metallica tour, James Hetfield got burned by a pyrotechnic blast. That was a big deal.
And I couldn't, and then they had to reschedule the concert in Seattle, and I had tickets.
And they almost had a riot.
Wow. And it was Guns N' Roses Metallica.
They almost had a riot.
And I couldn't go because I had my wisdom teeth pulled.
October 3rd, Sinead O'Connor ripped up the picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live. Do you remember that?
Yes. Ruck.
What a year.
You, how old were you?
Yes, I was 4. Yeah, all these things I do not remember.
You know what? Just sitting here. Sorry, we're just looking at how beautiful the water is.
That's mesmerizing.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless we have anything else to do, talk about, let's take a little break, and then we'll be back with a beer of the week from El Suanito Brewing Company. We'll give you a little teaser. The beer is called Un Poco Gay. Welcome back to The View from the Rock. We are still out here at the Camino Island Beach House, and we've been staring at the water, just anticipating our wonderful beer that we get to have.
Would you say we've been mesmerized?
Mesmerized, yeah.
We still haven't seen a boat.
No boats. You know,
one kayaker in the last hour.
It isn't during the week. It's not a weekend, so that's probably part of it. But, you know, it is the summertime for everyone. The one thing is, sometimes the Clipper will run through here, like, that goes up to Victoria. I think that thing still operates, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are the public launches closed on Juneteenth?
I mean, I doubt it.
No, the state park, maybe.
Yeah.
But not, like, Washington Park.
Well, that's a city.
Okay.
Yeah, so public launches would be open, I think, except state parks.
I think most of the ones that I'm aware of here on Camino are state parks. There's probably some that aren't. But anyways, well, here we are. It's our beer of the week. Our beer of the week comes from El Suanito Brewing Company. And the name of it is Un Poco Gay, Hazy IPA. It is a 6.5% alcohol by volume beverage. And we'd like to give a shout out to Chris and Emily Wolf. Chris celebrated Father's Day on Monday in Bellingham and went to El Suanito to get us this beer.
Thank you, Chris Wolf.
I think he was going to go there to eat the tamales because we kind of talked to him. He asked us about it at the staff meeting.
Yeah.
And then we said, yeah. And then we handed him some money and say, pick us up a beer of the week.
Are they listeners?
Yes.
Oh.
They're listeners now.
There we go.
They're new listeners. So he was super excited to hear about this beer.
Awesome. Well, I'm super excited to try it. Can you tell us a little about this beer?
Sure. So this hazy IPA celebrates the colorful tapestry of the people who make up our queer community. Made using a thiolized yeast strain that imparts vibrant notes of passion fruit, guava, and grapefruit. Generous amounts of Azaka, Citra, and El Dorado hops, complemented with subtle notes of tropical fruit and melon. With each sip, you'll embark on a fruity journey through a rainbow of flavors that reminds us that we all need to be loved, to be treated with dignity and respect, and most importantly, to live without fear of persecution or discrimination for who we are. We encourage all to celebrate and honor the spirit of pride beyond June, its never-ending fight for equality for all. That is the exact words on the can.
I'll take your word for it because that writing is really small.
Ruck, did you see how small it is?
Yeah. It's actually,
I couldn't even read it.
I can definitely read it, but it's not comfortable. I don't enjoy reading that.
Rowan,
if my arm
read it
was
to me.
1 inch shorter, I wouldn't be able to read it.
The can looks like, look at the photo.
Yeah, so it's sort of like there's maybe a cat? El gato? Mm. Or a wolf? Is it a wolf, maybe?
I don't know.
Well, is it related to, what's their logo? Their logo's a wolf, so it's probably a wolf. A wolf that's wearing maybe a mask and some coloring that looks like they might be found at Mardi Gras.
I would agree with that. I think this can rivals the Jellyfish Smack.
Yeah.
As best cans.
It might be better.
Sorry, Tara.
And this can is definitely a part of Pride Month.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
The other thing I would say is it mentioned thialized yeast, and I looked it up, and I'm about to read some things that, golly, I got no idea what I'm saying, but I'm going to try it. It says, the thialized process enhances a yeast's ability to biotransform compounds found in malt and hops to unleash thiols, which are flavor and aroma, active compounds reminiscent of grapefruit, passion fruit, and guava. So I think the simplified version of that is that the process they use is the yeast is better able to unleash flavors and aromas. I'm going
to
open it.
Ready to try this?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I broke the seal. I've already tried. I tried it. You didn't hear my can?
Yeah, I was focused on reading. That's a nice smell. I wish I would have had a cup. That would have been nice.
You don't do that.
I do like cups.
That's a good beer.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
Not bitter.
No.
So, what are you going to ask me?
What would you pair this with?
So, I've been thinking about it.
I'm sure you have. And I'm going to guess. Well, I'm not going to say it out loud. I'm going to guess in my head.
And it's perfect for where we currently are.
Oh.
Same. I would pair this with some fresh Dungeness Craft.
Oh.
And then maybe like a little piece of lingcod.
Are we, how are we eating this crab? Is it fresh cracked, just eating it right out of the shell?
So I will catch it, I will clean it and cook it. And it's, I mean, the Morgenthaler family, the crab cooking process is, it's legend.
No way. I would not have expected that.
So 12 minutes after a boil, and we use salt water.
Yeah.
And we add rock salt.
Yep.
And then just right out of the pot, right there, hot crab.
Now, you said cooking, cleaning, and then, or you said catching, cleaning, and then cooking. Do you clean them or cut them in half before you cook them?
If we have more than, we normally have more than 10 that we, so we, if we have less than 10, we will cook them whole.
So you prefer to cook them whole?
No, I don't. Okay. I like them, I don't like the butter is what they call it. Mm-hmm.
That's basically what, just the brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kelly's family and everyone in Hawaii loves it.
Really?
Like they're drinking it.
Oh, see, that's the stuff to me is like the.
So that's the thing. They're like, why are you throwing? So we clean, because when we have 40,
yeah.
So we have an axe attached to a big like piece of wood. And we're cleaning, like one guy's doing that, the other guy is cleaning off the crab, the pot is boiling, getting ready, and then we're putting in 60 halves into a pot.
Gotcha.
So, and then...
So after you cut it, is there any cleaning?
Yes. You have to take out the gills, so they're little, it's hard to describe.
It's like where they're, like
they're
underneath
hanging.
Them?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you shake it off. We actually put it in salt water before,
uh-huh.
Clean it, and then we put them in the pot.
I mean, I kind of like the crab butter too, I'm being honest.
So they'll add rice.
Oh, nice. There's a lot of flavor in it. It's a weird texture.
I know. I don't like it.
Hmm.
But then the same thing like with prawns. They don't want us to throw away the heads.
Oh, they suck the stuff out of the head?
So then I've been a sushi place with Merle in San Francisco where we ate a deep-fried prawn head.
The whole head?
Yes, it was amazing.
Including the, like...
No, it was after.
Okay.
Yeah. Like they took apart everything and they deep-fried the head.
Well, you deep-fry anything.
Yes. But that's true. So good. So... That's what I would pair it with.
I'll be damned.
The Morgy Dungeness Special.
See, I would pair this with a nice tamale.
Oh, good for you. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, if you looked at it, like you have it poured here, it looks like it's orange juice, basically. It's very orange, and you can't see through it. Looks like there's a lot of pulp in it. I think it's one of the better one of the better hazies that I've had.
Because I will agree, because I'm not a hazy guy.
A lot of people like to make fake hazies that are just crap, that are full of wheat, don't have a lot of fruit flavor to them, or, you know, they'll even add, like, fruit to try to get fruit flavor. But if you do it the right way, it should taste like this. Nice and smooth, not bitter, not weedy.
Good beer, beautiful can.
Well.
Thank you, Wolfs.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a great beer.
So, here we are. We're at the top three best places that you've sat to watch the water / ocean. And I have a question. Does this have to be, like, someone's place? Or, like, is it, could just be a public beach? Or maybe, you know.
Everything, like, everything's in play. Public, everything. My boys, I asked them last night, and Rowan's like, well, Washington Park.
Yeah, that's might be on my list.
Well, and I was like, oh.
Hard to beat.
I have a couple.
It was exactly why I was asking. Yeah,
I have a couple that didn't make the top three that would be, like, I mean, this probably could be a top five. Because Washington Park did not make my list. Maybe I take it for granted because I'm there all the time.
Yeah.
It's definitely, when someone drives there for the first time, and they just sit there, they're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
And watch the sunset.
Yeah.
I have a final question.
Okay.
How close do you have to be to the water? Because it just says a place to sit and watch the water.
Mm. I think.
Because one of my top places to sit and, like, see things, which includes the water, but it's really damn far from the water.
So I think wherever it makes you feel comfortable and you, and there's water that you're looking at, that would count. Like, I could see.
So a place to relax.
Yeah. So just to the northeast of where we're sitting, I'm looking at these houses up on this hill.
Yeah.
Like, that would be, if they have a deck, they probably all have a deck. Like, that would be amazing to sit there and have dinner.
Yeah.
So somewhere that, yeah, one of those, I mean, all of that's in play.
Okay.
Does that change your list?
No, but I'm thinking about it, and it's, there could be a big list of honorable mention.
Yeah.
That maybe we should talk about. But I don't know. Who wants to start this off?
First off, I think this is going to draw a lot of interest on the email.
I think so, too.
Yeah, actually, we would love to find out your top places. Either you can reply with your top places to sit and watch the water in our comments on YouTube. Let us know. Or you can reply, send us an email at theviewfromtherock@gmail.com. And we would be happy to find those things out. I might even have to follow up in a future episode with some of those best places. Who wants to start us off?
I'll go.
Okay.
And I've changed my order 5 times today.
Yeah, I've probably changed mine in the last 5 seconds.
Mine too.
But it's still the same. So, but when I, well, it's the same. No, it's still the same 3.
Same 3 different order.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something profound in there that when you've changed so many times that you realize you're still the same.
Okay.
Okay.
Number 3 for me is Kelly's home island of Oahu, Lanikai Beach in Kailua. And fact check this, but I believe at one point it was top 7 beaches in the world ranked.
I don't know how to spell any of that, so I will not be fact checking.
So Lanikai.
2 words.
Yes.
Okay.
And so it's also the photo in our living room. So when you sit, you walk. So it's a public roundabout that's probably 3 miles long of all, like, $5 to $10 million homes. So every access between the homes to the water is public.
Yeah.
So there's public parking everywhere that is very little. And then you roundabout out, and then you go to Kailua Beach regular.
Mm-hmm.
So Lanikai, you walk out and you look, and there's 2 islands, and but it's just like, you're, it's a postcard.
Yeah.
like you're sitting there and I'm like, this is not real. Like the sand, and it's not super populated depending on the time because it's not like a park.
Mm-hmm.
There's just private houses. So like you'll be sitting on the beach and then there's a family that lives right there and they're just sitting there in their yard, you know, a little behind us, but not a lot. But then they'll take their kayak out or they'll do whatever. It's just, it's pristine.
You ready for my number three?
I'm ready. I'm doing some mental juggling.
Yeah, I am too. It's hard. It's hard. So my number three is on Maui. And it's a place called Secret Cove. There's a Hawaiian name for it, but it's similar to what you described. It's in this area of multi-million dollar homes. So you have to really know that it's there to find it. And between these homes, there's a stone wall and there's a little aperture, small opening, between it, within the wall near these homes. And you walk out there and there's this little cove and it's, you know, not much bigger than what we're looking at here with your little beachfront ruck. But can only be accessed through this small opening in this stone wall. And there's a little cove-shaped beach. And the, you know, the sand in Hawaii is like, yeah. It's like, it's the texture of it. It's like.
It's not like here.
No. It's like.
It's like dust.
It's like a grain or yeah. something. And it's the most, you can sit there all day and just watch the waves come in. And it'll be rough at some points in time, and then something you can wade out in. And I was out there one time, and some of the locals were jumping off a rock and timing the waves coming in.
Same on North Shore.
It's just, and I could sit there all day.
And think about what they're doing when we grew, like when they grew up. We're up at Cranberry swimming.
Yeah,
you know, same. Like growing up, like oh, I'm 10 years old. I've timed the wave coming in. I know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm watching it think, I don't want to watch somebody die right now. But they've been doing it their whole lives. They know. Oof.
You know, just you mentioning our local lakes, like there's something really cool about the lakes that we have on Fidalgo Island. None of them are going to be my top three, but just the reflections that you get from the trees around it and all the dead and dying things that are in the water that stick out of some cool spots that definitely could have been in the top three.
You just
three.
Changed.
Well,
what you just said now just made me go, oh,
yeah,
well, Cranberry.
Cranberry. I know. That's what I'm saying. It's awesome.
Or Whistle, you know, where different times of day, the reflection of the trees and the water looks different.
And even Campbell and Erie and Hart.
Yeah. Even the other day at Mr. Moore's.
Yeah.
Oh. Sitting on Lake Erie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a beautiful.
So, like, in, like, Cranberry, when you kind of walk around that little island, you know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about? And you go the backside that's going to connect up to Trail 10, and there's that area that you can look through, and at certain times of the year, it's just ensconced in lily pads.
Yes.
As far as the eye can see, and there's always a window of sunlight at the right time of the day that will just shine right through. Mm. That... But the problem is, it's like a trail, and I guess I could sit there and watch things all day, but I don't know. While it's very beautiful, and there's definitely something to that, maybe it's not quite as epic as because of the scale of it. So,
but I take it for granted because I absolutely. Lived across the street from the trail.
Yeah.
And it took me 17 minutes to walk up there, and I spent my whole life.
Yep.
Just hanging out.
But Ruck, that exact spot you're talking about, you can be there 1,000 different times and it looks different every time.
Yeah.
Depending on the sun and the weather.
Absolutely. Well.
Oh, now you're number three. So that was an honorable mention for us then.
Yeah.
Cranberry.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw another honorable mention in there because I was, even to this moment, tossing around in my head, deciding whether I should include it and... It's the lookout from the Oyster Dome.
Yeah.
You're looking at water. It's one of the coolest views, I think, that people can get to.
And it's west.
Yeah.
And it's as far as the eyes can see.
Yeah. Amazing. So, but my number three is kind of a destination. I followed along with you guys in that. The Cliffs of Moher in Ireland. Have you heard of that?
Whoa.
No.
Internacional.
The Cliffs of
Moher.
Moher.
Yeah. It's one of the coolest views ever. You've basically got these, what they would be, sandstone reliefs. And so they're not quite like the Cliffs of Dover, but they're just sharp cliffs that rise out of the water there. And you can walk along large stretches of them and kind of look back, and there's always this mist that's kind of hanging around them. And of course it's Ireland, so
I'm looking right
perfectly
now.
Green everywhere around it.
I would have not spelt it that way.
Yeah. Moher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. It was cool. It looks amazing.
One of the best places I ever went to.
Wow. And you're on the top of that?
Yeah.
That castle right there?
Yeah, there's castles everywhere around there.
Oh, man. That looks really cool.
If it was a place that was closer and that I could actually sit, and it's, you know, a giant tourist place, then it would be higher on my list. But there it is, number three, the Cliffs of Moher.
All right. So my number two is special to a few of the podcast listeners. Keys Brothers have been there. So Corey Coleman's family cabin on Waldron Island. And if you look up the San Juan Islands, Waldron is one of the farthest northwest. And you can only get there by boat.
Is that northwest of Orcas?
Correct. Just a little bit. It's right there.
Right by Orcas, but northwest.
Yeah. And you can fly there, I think, private small plane, but everything is a taxi ferry.
Yep.
So we're able to drive our boats out there, and it reminds me of, it's exactly what we're looking at right now with Ruck's place, but it's less populated. So they're like, there's a cabin east and west, but kind of back a little, but we're talking outhouse. They have water, they have a pump. Like, it's old school.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you can water ski right there, and it's literally 1 minute away from fishing, everything. And then you get about halfway across the water side, and then it's Canada. So 1 year, we'll hear whales go by at night. We have a fire. And then the other year is massive boats running at 80 miles an hour, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about that we are one of the top two or three drug ports in the world.
Yeah, you remember.
So those are drug boats running at midnight. We're like, what's that noise? And they're just cigarette boats, like hammering, going across the water. But it makes you realize, you're like right there.
Yeah.
You're 2 miles from Canada.
Wow.
Beautiful.
So, Swap, do you know what famous writer lives in Waldron Island?
Sam Green.
That's right.
The Poet Laureate of Washington.
The first Poet Laureate.
The first Poet Laureate of Washington.
Yeah.
Did he come to our school?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
He still lives in Waldron. And I believe he's a 66 grad.
Yeah, something like that.
From AHS.
And there's that stone out in the library, is that right? In the courtyard by the library?
Yeah.
That's got a poem from him on it?
It's a great place. Like, if you don't want to be around people, and
it's hard to get to.
It is.
It's very hard to get to.
No, it's super hard. It's an hour drive on our boat.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Oh.
So my number two. Damn. What am I going to do?
I'm struggling right now. I'm so glad you're going before me.
Well, I think we can predict your number one.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine. Yeah.
Yes.
So my number two, and this is a cliche, but Washington Park.
Just said it was honorable mention, and you said yes.
Well, it's
you
it's
just
not.
Changed it.
It's not.
I don't remember you saying that, but yeah.
The thing about that is there's so many different places you can be out there along the Loop Road. You can be on that what is the area where it's you have the
Green Point?
Green Point.
That was going to be
Leaning Tree.
Yes. And then there's the beach that you walk down the steps to.
Yep.
Yep.
And then there's that high lookout
with the tree.
Yep. There, it's just.
It is. It's nice.
And I don't go out there enough. I, you know, honestly, I go out there maybe once a year, and it's usually when somebody's here visiting, and I drive them around.
That's what we talked about. I went up to the top of Fidalgo, and showed my buddy, and I'm like, man, I only go here when people want to come visit. But it's amazing. The views, we just take it for granted because we live here.
You know, getting takeout food and driving out there at sunset.
Oh, parents love to do that. My parents do.
Do they
at
really?
Washington Park?
Yeah.
And they have those little nooks that you can park in out there. And you can walk out on the grass, and they have the wildflowers.
Yeah.
You know what's cool? Sometimes you'll see an older couple. They'll post up right there at one of the picnic tables, and they'll get some food out, their bottle of wine, and they'll just have a little sunset dinner there. It's amazing. What a great idea. Great spot.
There are so many people that go out and sit and just watch stupid people try and back their boat back.
Yes.
Because I've seen it my whole life.
Washington Park.
I've seen my dad get so mad, and where husbands will not, they'll say, my wife doesn't know how to do it. And she's like, well, you suck. Like, and it just goes back and forth where he, like, you've seen the commercials. Like, they turn the wheel a little, and then it's kinked, and then there's, like, 10 people waiting. Finally, my dad one time goes, I'll help you. He gets in their truck. She's like, thank you for someone that is comfortable doing this. And then hops on her boat. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's one of the best people-watching spots around.
Yeah, watching the boat launch there is...
You know, I was going to say the same, and specifically Greenpoint. I love sitting there and looking out at the openness of that channel there. But I'll say something different that I don't think is going to get said. Capsana, that is a great spot. To be able to look back at the city with the water around it, and then being able to look back past it so that you don't have as much stuff. And it, you have this nice wide open view to look at Baker like that. That's one of, I'll say that's my number two spot.
That little
Capsana.
Rock right there,
yeah.
You stand right there, and then there's Baker Refineries. You can see the other side of Guemus.
Yeah.
First boat. First boat's passing. First boat of the day.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Wow.
And do you remember being a kid, though, and go up to Capsana and saying, I can see my house?
Yeah. I can see the high school.
You can see the high school.
Yeah.
I mean, back before drones were a thing where you couldn't see that kind of thing as easily. That was kind of the same view you'd get there.
All right, my number one.
We know it's going to be.
What is it?
The Morgue Cabin.
Yeah, Ponderay.
Yep, Ponderay River.
Yep.
Swap, you've been there.
It's amazing.
Sitting at the fire.
Looking up the river.
Yeah.
Or down the river.
Looking down river, but also, Ruck, down river is north. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Is that because of the Grand Coulee Dam?
It's because of the dams on both sides.
Yeah.
Box Canyon, not Grand Coulee Dam.
Okay.
So it's technically a reservoir.
Gotcha.
So it's 1 mile an hour.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's yeah. Can't wait. We're going to go over July 2nd, right after Ross's rendezvous.
Is there a part of the day that you think is the best view? Is it sunset, sunrise?
It's 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Where you have a fire.
And then it's still light out, but there's no wind.
And the way your place sits there, you can be up by that fire pit and look. You can look down the river or up the river almost as far as you can see.
Yeah. And then you see the Selkirks and then Canada. Because we're only 33 miles from Canada.
And there's no city lights anywhere near you, so the stars are amazing.
So, like, we'll go out in the boat. We call it a midnight run, even though we don't do it at midnight anymore.
I think we did it at midnight.
Maybe. But you just take the boat out and just stop. And then we sit around, and you're going to see, some people see 7 to 10 shooting stars. Like, it's just, there's thousands, because you're at 2,000 feet elevation. Mm-hmm. No lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot put words to that. It is, everything he says is true.
So that
sounds magical.
Yeah. There will be a time, Rock, in the next 4 years that you will come over.
Mm. Thank you.
Okay, my number one. Going back to Maui, Kapalua Beach.
Two on Maui?
Two on Maui, but Kapalua is where I was married.
Mm.
Some people say it's top 10 beaches in the world. And we didn't know that getting married. I just got online and found a Maui wedding planner. But
really?
Yeah. But it is just the prototypical Maui beach, with that arc shape. You know, looks a little, has a little Gilligan's Island feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun going down, just magic.
Wow.
You should Google it.
I will. I'm not going to be able to spell that, Kapalua. You want to spell it for me right now?
Maui, number 8 in best beaches in the world.
I mean, I've never been to Hawaii in general, so.
You haven't been to Hawaii?
Kapalua. No, that's, it took me to a Kapaluau. Am I spelling that wrong? You can't see that. That's all right.
Kapalua.
I think it took me to like a frat bro. Oh, it's one word. Oh, that is beautiful. I mean, but you know, me not having been to Hawaii, in my mind, that's what all of Hawaii looks like.
Right.
But that would be awesome.
Just so like currently, Lanikai is ranked 21st in the world. And 20 years ago, they were in top 10.
So it's went downhill.
Yep. Because of tourism.
Is Henning Beach on there at all?
I'm sorry, but this would be in my top six. Top five.
Maybe even top three.
Because I know. The salt water is so, it's just what we grew up with.
But it's just, you can just look at this and it's hypnotic. Just,
yeah, absolutely. You can get lost out there in the waters.
Well, and it's just, there's no one here.
Yeah. It's There's absolutely no, quiet.
Like if the boat traffic was huge, that would be different because there'd always be waves, you know.
That's what's nice about the Pend'Oreille.
Yeah.
Is you can't believe that in Washington on a river, there's not more traffic.
We'll see one boat a day during the weekday.
Wow.
And maybe a couple jet skis. But you can go and we go to the beach. The fishing is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. Lost wonder in the state.
It's the best secret.
Because it's in the middle of nowhere. Like, you are the farthest northeast that you can be. There's two towns, or three. I own Medellin, which I took you.
Yeah.
And then Medellin Falls. And then the postman was filmed there.
Oh.
Kevin Costner.
Also at Bowman's Bay. Would Bowman's Bay be great honorable
mention? Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Especially the hike out there. Like the bay itself.
What about West Beach, Deception Pass?
I know, and that's sandy.
So Deception Pass, I looked it up this week because I took Colin underneath. Number one ranked park in the state.
Yeah.
Visited. And top 12 in the nation.
Wow. We are so lucky.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think it was the difficult part about doing this is the more you think about it, the more locations come to mind and the more you're like, well, I don't know that any of them are really better than the other ones. They're all just really good. And
how about a top Fidalgo Island?
Where at?
No, I mean top three on Fidalgo Island.
Oh, jeez.
Like that should be something we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously my number one is here on Camino. Yeah. You know, there's not even a lot of people that walk along this beach. There's a community nearby, but it's technically private property, the whole thing. So there's not a lot of people that walk down here onto our property. If they do, it's not a big deal. We don't really care, but...
It's very little. I've been here twice. I've never seen anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you could sit on the deck and read a book all day long. That's what I like most about this beach at this point. There's definitely a lot of great crabbing out here. There's good clamming. You could do all those things if you want to, but I just love to come out here for the quiet peacefulness of what the beach is. Yeah.
Oh,
so
yes.
Glad you guys can be out here to enjoy it as well.
I would love to hear the comments from everyone about their beaches.
Well, can you think of any honorable mention before we...
I want to hear the Mitchells.
Yeah. Because they've been to New Zealand.
Like, where is that? Like, where on New Zealand?
Well, and I was talking about this last night with Mrs. Swap and Iceland. When we got into Iceland, it's not a beach, but we went to the Blue Lagoon.
Yeah.
Which is commercialized now, but it was January, so it was 21 hours of darkness. Mm. And it's a geothermal pool, but commercialized now.
What does that mean?
So it's become
just
like a resort. Okay. Yeah. But the sun coming up while we're in a geothermal pool in Iceland over this murky turquoise water.
Oh, I saw you sent a photo. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds cool.
And didn't you ride horses?
I did.
Icelandic horses.
That might be a topic for another podcast.
Wow.
Unless you want to hear about it now.
You can tell us about it now if you'd like to.
Well, so the Icelandic horse, they have their own breed. They're smaller than the horses we're familiar with, but they're not a pony.
So do they have four characteristics?
Four gaits, where like the horses we are familiar with have three gaits. The Icelandic horse has four, but there's also a weight limit.
Uh-oh.
So when we went, I needed to drop weight.
Oh, you knew this ahead of time?
So yes. So Mrs. Swap put me on a strict regimen.
Oh, wow. Was this did you during your cider drinking years?
What's that?
Was this coinciding with the cider drinking?
So I fast. I didn't fast, but I did.
Yeah.
Fast before we went. And when we got there, you know, we had people from all over the world at this little horse farm in Iceland. And the guys there placed people with horses. Mm. They put me off to the side. And then they picked this one horse. And I think it's the horse that they put all the heavy people on. And he said, okay, you're going to be on that guy right there. And the horse, you know, horses don't make eye contact.
Yeah.
He looked at me and then he... looked away.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
I got swapped.
And then there's people from all over the world laughing at me. But it was really cool. I mean, we rode through the Icelandic tundra for hours.
Incredible.
Have you ever ridden a horse, Rock?
I hate horses. I've ridden one. I did not like it.
I like them.
What don't you like about horses?
They could kill you. In an instant.
Well, there's
by
a lot of
any
stuff.
Means necessary. They could throw you off of it. They could trick you into getting anywhere near one of their legs and just pop you right in the face.
Do you feel like they are like there are like people with an axe to grind that have been reincarnated into an animal?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I do too.
Yeah, I don't understand the fascination with them.
I love a good horseman.
You would.
Shout out to the Pruitts.
What did you say?
Nothing.
Oh, my God.
You know, one last place I'll say that I didn't mention. So when I was in Sweden, went there for a Swedish family reunion. It was like 4 hours north of Stockholm. There's a little town, Bersha, Sweden. And you get out there and it looks really similar to here. There's green trees everywhere. But this house of this family member I went to, their house is like this close to the water. But these pine trees just like go all the way to the water's edge. And they're sort of like, they're thin. They're not densely populated. So you can look through them. And at different times of the year, that water that's there in front of them will freeze solid. And then they can just go ice skate out in the ocean.
Oh, wow.
Because it's like not very salty, that water there. So it was incredible to look out. They had this deck out there that you could sit on. It just felt like you were in this remote, very alien world looking out at the water. Wow, it was cool.
Oh. Man, you know, I had my number four was close. Long Beach Ocean Park. So my cousin Bobby and Melissa, they had a place there. So Long Beach, Washington.
Okay.
And you go like 4 or 5 miles north, and then it's a little town called Ocean Park. And they have a property. You can't have it right on the water, but it's like sand walkway for 200 yards. And then there's the beach and the ocean. And so he has his property that goes all the way out. So you can bring chairs, sit out there. Because something with birds that aren't allowed to, cars aren't allowed to drive on the sand, right at their place, it stops. So it goes public beach where people can drive. Like, I'm not really a coastal person. I've only been there a couple times, but I guess there's a lot of people that like to drive on the beach. Mm. You can't do it. So there's no one there. So, I mean, it was so awesome. Like, I would encourage you to go down there one time. Or, yeah, I mean, even the old Ocean Shores and...
Yeah.
I've been there once, but it was like when I was 9.
Yeah, same. Been a long time for me.
A coastal fun town, seaside, Cannon Beach, like just watching the water. Those are some other great places.
Yep, I agree. Those are cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I think we're here at the end of our rope here. We have exhausted our list of top places to watch the water from. You can find our podcasts at YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, and anywhere else that you listen to your podcasts. And if we messed anything up, email us at theviewfromtherock@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.